So our next performer was writing some biographical information for us, and she put at the bottom, "No need to try to pronounce my last name." Well, my name has four syllables in it, Peter Monroe. If you use my middle name, it goes up to five. That's really kind of syllable impoverishment. So just for the pure pleasure of it, I'm going to try to pronounce Alana's last name.
If it were a socialist country, I could donate
some of my syllables. Yeah, shared syllables.
I'd be happier.
Excellent. Okay. Alana Kansaku Sarma. Fuck.
My middle name, not my last name. No.
I used in the wrong part of my trifocals. That's it. Alana Kansaku Sarmiento. Alana grew up surrounded by water on a big island of Hawaii, but did not touch or kill a fish in her life until her first season gillnetted in Alaska. Ooh, that must have been shocking. Yeah. Okay, first season gillnetting in Alaska, 2015. Now she can't get enough. Please welcome Fisher Singer, Alana. Yeah.
So I realize I don't have a strap, so I'm gonna have to like Captain Morgan it on a chair, but. We'll see how it works. But before I do, I'm going to read you a quick poem. Not from there, from my phone, actually. Fisher Poets, 2018, here we go. So this poem is called "The Eye and the Heart." The surface of an eye is deceivingly diminutive, like a sliver of moon. Only once a month does the moon fully reveal itself, shedding a layer of darkness every night until true girth and glory are unveiled in shameless exhibition. A sharp turn from the coy crescent display. When I close my eyes, the moons in my skull are made new, hidden from the world. But it is only when an eye is plucked from the socket that its full form is revealed. As I held the salmon's eye, I praised science, nature, and God, the true Holy Trinity, a magnificent piece with its calico-like patchwork of turquoise and navy and black, colored to look like the sea in any mood. I held wisdom in my hand, and I lifted it to my mouth. I swallowed the moon. It goes down like a terrible pill, medicine for the underfed adventurer. I lift the tip of my knife to the delicately soft, slightly iridescent underside of the fish. I hover momentarily, shifting the edge to a point just under the head. Carefully, I cut. Little experience with hunting for hearts does not make one a poor hunter. I allow my fingertips to search and begin gently tugging on a small organ. It dislodges. Gently pinched between two fingers, I weave it through the organs and meet through the clean white slit and pull out a most perfect heart. Deeply mauve and gently beating, an immaculate invention. I held life in my hand and I lifted it to my mouth. I swallowed a star. Burning with energy and power, offering light, heat, and life, I wonder how much I am truly being fed. As I hold the universe in my head, in my chest, and in my belly, light streams from my belly button, my eyes, my nose, my mouth, and I am full. Thank you. So this next song that I'm gonna sing in the form of a pirate captain. Only in stance, not in vocalization. It's called Water. Also, I haven't used this guitar before. It's a friend's. Thank you, friend, who's not here. So let's see. Water hangs in the air. Sometimes it falls all over me. Water flows through the air. I trust the sky over me. Shades of blue, shades of gray. It falls all over me. Come night or come day, I trust the sky over me. Sometimes I fall, sometimes I run around, I'm made of water too. Five keeps us alive, that percent in me and you. Water flows on the ground, sometimes it rises over me. Water runs underground, I trust the earth being. Shades of green, shades of brown. Sometimes it rises over me. Goes away, comes around. I trust the earth beneath my feet. Sometimes I spill, sometimes I crash into the ground. I'm made of water too. Keeps us alive, that percent in me and you. 2 hard to drink, 2 soft to break, 2 light to grab a fist. It moves, it quakes, it runs, it shakes, it rises like a mist. And still trust the sky over me. Thank you. I'm going to read a piece that I also wrote called Refraction. What you see is not always what you get. Once, I put my hand underwater and the surface of the liquid acted as a blade that cut my hand in two, refracting me into pieces that were no longer fully connected and not quite severed. My displaced fingers hung on by a thread, cut off at the second knuckle in a jarring and prismatic display. When I pulled my hand out, my digits were as straight as they ever once were. I looked into the water with fear and intrigue, and I backed away. I wanted to keep my fingers whole, and I didn't know if I'd be so lucky the next time I plunged my hand beneath the surface of the water. But who could stay away? What you see is not always what you get. I want to go back to the water. This time, I'll put my whole body in. I want to see what happens. I return and let the water lap at my feet while I harden my resolve. I wade in and inhale sharply as the cold blade traces itself around my middle. My elbows remain raised above the surface, and I look down at my torso to see if it's still in place. It is not. I see that the lower half of my body has indeed been cut in half, and it stands still as if waiting for command from the rest of me. My naked hips have slid halfway out from under me, taking my legs and feet with it. I instinctively try to move myself to the right to realign myself, but every time I do, my feet run away from me like a shadow that refuses to be caught. My heart is racing in my chest. I can't be the first to discover this. Why has no one told me? I think I'm being quite brave, and I curse myself for not bringing a friend to see exactly how brave I am, so they can tell the story for me instead of having to tell it myself. I would let them speak my praises as I shyly listened and smiled, looking away in remembrance and nodding to confirm the most spectacular details. But that's all assuming that I lived through this experience. I suppose magicians have severed girls before and everything turned out all right for them, at least as far as I know. But what if they were never the same? Maybe sometimes at night their lower halves wander off and they're forced to crawl on their elbows and bellies to catch up with a piece of themselves that's much faster and much dumber. I certainly hope not. I put on a brave face for no one and force myself to stop chasing myself. I consider getting out of the water, but curiosity gets the best of me. I look around at the vast expanse, eerily still and quiet. No ripples, no darting fish, not a cloud in the sky or a vessel on the distant horizon. What you see is not always what you get. I take a deep breath in, then another, then another. I start slowly walking into deeper water, eyes clamped shut. I wonder if I'm imagining things or if I can actually feel the cold surface cutting into me with each new step. The movement of the liquid I'm displacing with my body is the only movement around. What you see is not always what you get. The water reaches my elbows. The water reaches my shoulders. The water reaches my neck. More deep breaths. I open my eyes. The water before me has not changed, except for the fact that it is now much, much closer to eye level. I look to my right, nothing. I look to my left, nothing. I look over my shoulder. It's difficult to see since my vantage point is so close to the surface of the water, but soon enough there is no mistaking it. My body is a full 2 feet away from me, standing stock still. Strangely enough, my first sensation is relief that my chest has reunited with my lower half. Then a mild sense of panic begins welling up in me. I tried to walk towards myself and back towards the shallows, but in reality I flail. Yet through the disorientation, I see the gap begin to close between me as more of myself appears above the water and less of me remains below. I stop dead in my tracks and attempt to regulate my beating heart. What you see is not always what you get. There is more than one way to reunite my two halves. I slowly turn around and begin making my way back towards the horizon, away from the safety of the shallows. This time, I keep my eyes open. The liquid creeps its way up my skin as I descend. I've stopped shivering. I can feel the molecules of the watery substance crawling up my body in slow motion as I continue to pad my way into wholeness. I'm almost fully submerged. My lips are wet now with the taste of salt. I tilt my head back and take a big breath through my mouth. I imagine what I must look like from above. Nothing but a face and a floating mass of hair, staring into the sky with her mouth agape. I puff my cheeks out, bend my knees, and let the water have its way with me. What you see is not always what you get. I feel something brush my leg. I open my eyes with a start and swallow a mouthful of water in response to the shock of the contact. The shock of the contact was nothing compared to the shock of what I saw. I found myself in the middle of a teeming metropolis, creatures so tiny I could breathe them in if they didn't swim away quickly enough, and creatures so large I could make a home in their mouths. Creatures with big eyes and quick movements, creatures with jagged teeth and jagged grins. I saw a couple of brightly colored fish having a rapid and heated conversation with each other, and I wished I could hear, but I didn't want to appear intrusive. I saw another large fish crying to itself and attempting to hide in a patch of kelp. The poor thing wasn't doing a very good job. It was so large that its head would stick out on one side and its tail on the other. A school swam beside me and off into the distance. I wondered where they were going. My thoughts were interrupted by the realization that I could breathe. Well, perhaps not breathe. I was simply not dead. In fact, I was very, very alive. I looked down and held my hands up before me. My very whole, very unified body was beneath me. I kicked a foot and a little flurry of sand shot up. I bent my knees and pushed off with both feet into the unknown. What you see is not always what you get. Thank you.
Thank you, Alana.